Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Vox Pop. You know, it's your show, and we hope that you'll participate. It's going to be a real humdinger of a show. We have with us the great Blair Horner. So let me tell you how it's working. New York State voters on November 7th will see three ballot questions when they go to polls. Question one asks voters if they'd like New York to hold a constitutional convention. Question two would allow judges to reduce or revoke the state pension of a public official convicted of a felony related to his or her duties. And the final proposal would create a 250-acre land bank, which would allow local governments to request forest preserve land for projects in exchange for the state acquiring 250 acres for the forest preserves. Here to discuss all of these is the great Blair Horner, the executive director of the New York Public Interest Research Group, a WAMC commentator, and dare I mention it, a WMC board member. Welcome, Blair.
Well, hopefully this will be a humdinger. Let's see how it goes.
Oh, this is hot. This is really hot. Our Susie Chekai is standing by the phones, ready to answer the phone calls and to get people's names and numbers up there. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Hey, Blair, first of all, do you have a position specifically for you on the Constitutional Convention?
NYPERG has no position on question one, so we're neutral. We're trying to focus on educating the public on a complicated and important decision. We do support question two, which would yank the pensions of corrupt public officials. More in the chicken soup category than I think it'll be earth-shattering, but it certainly can't hurt.
You think anybody's going to vote for letting them keep their pensions?
Well, it's hard to believe that people who actually go to the polls and read the question would, on the spot, vote no. But I think that what you often see on these kind of cases, again, in this case, just so all listeners know.
Please.
On one side, because we have a paper ballot, we fill in the bubbles, has all the candidates for the various offices. You have to flip the ballot over, and that's where the three questions are. And so the people that are most motivated, that are going to be voting on the back side of that page, are people that have an opinion on the Constitutional Convention.
That's because it takes a lot of energy to flip that thing over.
It's very heavy. But people have to know it's there. They have to be motivated. They have to understand it. And it may be, depending on what happens on question one, may influence what happens on question two and three.
In other words, if people come in determined, for example, to vote no on the Constitutional Convention, they may just be in a no mood.
That's right. I haven't heard anybody out there saying, vote yes on one, yes on two, no on three, or anything like that. It's been pretty much the dominant argument that you hear in anywhere you go in the state. If there is an argument on those questions, it's on the convention itself.
Well, okay, so let's spend a little time on the convention. Let's start with that. It's interesting to me that the legislative leaders themselves, this is the one thing that makes me think that maybe there should be a constitutional convention. The legislative leaders, except for Mr. Kolb in the assembly, and he has the power of warm spit, have
that's in the humdinger category.
Yeah, that those legislative leaders are against the constitutional convention. Because as for me, the two things I'd like to see, and I don't hear a lot of talk about it from those who are for it, are term limits, number one. And I think that New Yorkers are wildly in favor of term limits. And number two, the idea of initiative and referendum, which some political scientists have troubles with. But if the legislature does some stupid and self-serving thing, the voters can rise up as one and, put out something on the ballot. They have it in New York City, and I think it's frankly worked pretty well. On the other hand, if you're an optimist, you say, well, maybe if you put them all in there, they'll do something good. If you're a pessimist, I am one of those. Then what you're looking at is the bad possibility here of doing more damage than they've done in the past, the politicians. And remember, these are the same guys who are sitting in the assembly. They can change the Constitution anytime they want to. They can vote in amendments to successive legislative sessions. So what do you think? I've said what I think.
Well, I mean, just so the listeners all know, there's a three-step process to this. Every 20 years, New Yorkers get an opportunity to vote on whether or not they want to have a convention called to rewrite the state constitution. So the first vote, the first bite at the apple, is this November. If everyone votes, if the majority vote no, then we wait till 2037 and you and I can have this conversation again.
Hopefully.
That's right. If they vote yes, then the second bite at the apple occurs. They get to elect delegates. About 204 delegates, actually 204 delegates would be elected. And then those individuals would come to a convention at the state capitol in April of 2019. And they come up with whatever they come up with. And then whatever they come up with gets then approved or disapproved by the voters in the next general election after they're done.
And what happened the last time? Last time, it got that far, right? But then the voters said, no, thank you.
Well, in the mid-1960s, the legislature convened a constitutional convention.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It wasn't one called on the 20-year cycle. They called it. They came up with a package of reforms, and they put it all in a all-or-nothing vote. It was sort of like the Roman amphitheater, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down.
Right.
And New Yorkers voted it down because it was a controversial provision that they included in the package, which would have allowed state aid to parochial schools.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a big controversial issue, and that ended up dominating what would have come out of the convention.
Was that the so-called Blaine Amendment?
The Blaine Amendment, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's in the state constitution. So you're right. I mean, there's all of the people that think that Albany's a mess, that the governor and the legislature show no inclination to fixing it. And so why should we hope that they will do it? And if that's how you view the world, then you say, well, let's roll the dice on a convention. And then there's all the people that say there's good things in the state constitution now, particularly the area of labor, taking care of the poor, taking care of making sure that people have sound basic education, that the Adirondacks and Catskills are forever wild. And why would you want to risk all of those things at a convention where God knows who the delegates will be?
Yeah.
And so those people want to vote no.
Well, I have to say, in the spirit of honesty, that this is a hot
program.
This is a hot program, and there are very few people who really care about it. And therefore, I find it fascinating that the phones are all ringing like crazy. That's a lie. That's a Trump-like lie. There is somebody on the phone. Now, if you want to get your voice on the radio, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And that's the telephone number which will bring you the ability to have your say on the Vox Pop. Now, I have to tell you, Blair, we've been getting a fair amount of comment on the roundtable in the morning from people who want to know why we're not talking more about the Constitutional Convention. As a result, we had this program.
Huh.
You know, and now you can see why. So it's 1-800-348-2551. I always wonder why people don't care more about state government. Anyway, we're going to take a short break from this exciting program, and we'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from Hawkins House, Bennington, Vermont, a crafts market featuring Ed Levin and other handcrafted jewelry, pottery, blown glass, woodenware, clothing, handbags, accessories, Vermont products, and more. HawkinsHouse.net. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and No Moo Dairy Free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Interactive Media Consulting, a team of online market strategists providing websites, branding, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond since 1996. imediaconsult.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. amherstcopy.com. And Wellspring, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to end relationship and sexual abuse in our community. WellspringCares.org.
Thank you, Zachary. And magically, we're back again. Phones are ringing. Wow, I think there are 5 phone calls. Pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay, let's go to Mark in Albany. Mark in Albany, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thank you. I have a quick comment and then a question about Prop 1 and question about Prop 2. The comment is, I think Alan, Blair, and I could write amendments that would improve the Constitution. The problem is that the Koch brothers have ALEC and a whole infrastructure dealing with state-level policy that the progressive side doesn't have, and I think that makes it too risky to open it up. My question is about Prop 2, the pension forfeiture. Is it not the case that the law already has the capacity to get convicted corrupt officials to disgorge their ill-gotten gains? And wouldn't pension forfeiture jeopardize the livelihood of dependents of people who may be too old to work?
Sure. Okay, Blair, you're up.
Well, there's a law in the books that says that if you're an elected official that came into office starting in 2011 going forward, that your pension is subject to the same provisions that are currently under being considered in this constitutional amendment. There are ways where U.S. attorneys, for example, when they have put some elected officials in the slammer or public officials in the slammer, been able to sort of claw back the equivalent of the pension fund.
Yeah, they fine them.
That's right. And so this provision basically says that any public officials convicted basically of corruption puts their pension at risk up to the judge. And so it's judicial discretion. So the caller's, Mark's question about putting the family at risk or somebody who's elderly at risk, the judge would take that into consideration. And I guess in the similar way as they do with a fine now. I view this as more a chicken soup. I don't necessarily see that it hurts, but it's not going to fundamentally change the problems in Albany because you would think that going to prison would be much more of a deterrent than even putting your pension at risk.
Yeah. And of course, there are many ways of looking at the dependent situation. I mean, if a dependent of a politician who's corrupt has been living off the fruits of the land for a while, why protect that person?
Right. I mean, again, though, it would be the judge is the way that this thing is structured.
Most judges come out of politics themselves.
They would be sort of considering that. I mean, let's say that even if it's ill-gotten gains in that case, let's say with a dependent, let's say the dependent has some sort of disability.
Yeah.
Would you want to put them out on the street? Right. So you wouldn't necessarily want to see that happen. And as I understand it, this proposal would allow judicial discretion.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Okay, now we'll go to Joan in Pottown, Poughkeepsie. Okay, Joan, you're on. Go.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Blair. I agree with you that it's naive to think that we should have a constitutional convention and that money doesn't matter when we've seen how much money matters in influencing our representatives in Albany. But I wanted to ask you, my understanding is that those of us who are progressive pretty much don't want this, but also that the NRA and other right-wing organizations don't want it. And I'd like to hear you comment on why we're so afraid of each other these days and afraid of everybody that we say no to the same thing that our erstwhile enemies on the right and the left are also doing.
Good questions. Blair.
Well, Joan is quite right. There are these strange bedfellow coalitions, actually on both sides of the question. People that are opposed include the Conservative Party, Planned Parenthood, and organizations that she mentioned, the NRA and others. On the pro side, you have a lot of reform groups, the League of Women Voters, for example, and Assembly Republican leader Brian Kolb. And so it's sort of, I think, how you view the problem and is this a reasonable solution? The first caller mentioned, and I think Joan mentioned it as well, the really where it all hangs is who gets elected to be delegate.
Sure.
And that's where the action is.
And the who, it seems to me, it may be that the Kochs and others have money and the rest, but it's also that the political leadership, which gets their own people into the legislature and elects the legislature, are the same people going to be picking the delegates if you think about it for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, you still have to petition to get on the ballot or have the party put you on.
And who knows how to do that?
That's right. You have to raise the campaign contribution to successfully run as a delegate in a state Senate district or statewide. Those are the two places. How do you raise the campaign contributions and run a real race? You have to win, and then you have to have the time to sit in the convention if indeed you are elected as a delegate.
And even if they don't run themselves, which they have done in the past, the legislators, they often have a cousin Louis who will do it for them. Joan, thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Al. No, that's wrong. Let's go to Doug in Saratoga. Number four. By the way, folks, the way that I pick them is who's been hanging on the longest? We can tell with our new nifty system here.
It's
go
very
ahead.
Impressive.
Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
Okay, well, my question was about picking the delegates, and I know, Alan, one of your concerns is always the Cousin Louie selection. So
yeah,
I guess
Cousin
you guys
Louis.
Have talked on that. Cousin Louie always. But I actually had a question about referendums, and it seems that other states bring referendums and, you know, bring things to decision by referendum much
right.
more than we do in New York State. And I was
you
just
can't in New York State.
Just,
you can't
so,
in New
so,
York
yeah,
State.
Yeah, so is that part of the law, and that's the only reason why they're not doing them, so they have ballot questions like this
well,
instead?
Well, I'll throw it to Blair, but the truth is that in New York City, they do have the right to do initiative and referendum, and they do it, and I think rather successfully.
Municipalities yeah. are allowed to initiate a referendum process in the state of New York, but the state is not.
And the state is not because these guys don't want to be overruled.
Well, yeah. There's that. And the legislature can put questions on the ballot. So Doug's question about the fact that there are questions on the ballot, for example, this year, are all because they were either legislatively initiated or the Constitution requires it to be on.
Okay, Doug, thank you. All right, we got a lot of people on the phone, amazingly. I have no idea why. And now we're going to go to Richard in New Paltz. Okay, Richard in New Paltz.
Hey, Alan. So I want a constitutional convention, I believe. I'd like it nationally. But the thing is, the 204 delegates, I'm afraid that big money's going to come in and the people won't be represented, and it's just another crap show. And I'd just like to know your opinion on it, guys.
Blair?
Well, I mean, Richard's right that the same election process that gives us the state legislature and the governor and the comptroller and the attorney general is the same process that would elect delegates. I think supporters would argue that, look, the system is not working now. The governor and the legislature is not being responsive to the needs of the average people. Why not roll the dice? And if you don't like what they come up with, you can vote it down. So I think Richard is right that the influence of big money will be there. I mean, that's the way American democracy sadly works.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I think proponents would argue, why not roll the dice? Of course, opponents would argue, why take the risk?
Okay, thank you for that. Let's go to Mark in Salem. All right, Mark in Salem, your turn. Go.
Hi, Alan. First of all, I wanted to mention that I went to a certain place that you went to for your back, and it's been 2 weeks, and I'm doing fine.
Terrific. I want to congratulate you on that. That's Dr. Jean Shen.
Well, Dr. Popper actually.
Oh, Popper is his partner. That's right. And he was here the other day on Medical Monday. You're quite
right.
That's
when I called him just before I went in.
Okay, great.
Hi. Why can't the Constitutional Convention be the results of it to be divided up into propositions A, B, C, D, F, or 1, 2, 3, 4, and let people vote after these things have been around here? When you mention Constitutional Convention, everybody acts like burnt cats, especially the teachers' unions and other things. Well, why can't these new ideas that people want to come through be voted on individually rather than as a large package?
And your answer, Mark, is they can. If they decide to put it up individually, they can. But what they've done, what they did the last time that Blair mentioned, is they said, well, we think some of this will go yes and no, so we'll just put it all and make them all vote yes or no on the whole thing. But it's an option.
That's right. But we can't in advance dictate how the convention will operate or how they will offer their work to the public. It'll be completely up to the delegates to figure out how they want to do that. In the 1930s, New Yorkers got a menu of options of 9 questions, 6 of which were approved. In 1967, they got all or nothing.
Okay, Mark, thank you. I'm sorry for cutting you off. It's just that we have an awful lot of people. The telephone number is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And now we're going to go to Alec in Millbrook. Okay, Alec in Millbrook, you're on the phone. Go.
Thank you, Alan. First comment, I just want to say, Alan, thank you for many years of enjoyable listening of Mario and Me. Loved that program.
Actually, you got it wrong. It was me and Mario. That was the whole arrogance and fun of the title.
I did want to ask your guest, is there anything that we get from a convention that we can't already get through the legislative process?
Well, the legislative process can amend the state constitution if they if the legislature approves two successive legislatures approves a change to the state constitution, and then it's approved by the voters. In fact, two of the three questions on the ballot this year are such amendments. So the legislature can do those things. I think the argument that proponents would make is that the legislative process is more of a sharpshooter approach to changes in the state constitution, where the convention gives you the opportunity to rewrite the whole thing.
My concern is going to be the downstate liberals and far west liberals basically making New York more of a socialist state than it already is.
Well, that would be, that's the argument that the Conservative Party makes, in addition to when they're opposed, in addition to the fact that they wouldn't like to see the money get spent. The estimates are from $50 to $100 million.
But Alec, but your point and Blair's, I think, too, is that anything is possible here.
That's right.
There are people opposed to this constitutional convention, like you. You think it's going to become a socialist state, and then there are people who are against it because they think quite the opposite.
That's right. And then, in fact, the labor unions, in particular, the public employee unions, have been opposed, and their concern is that a runaway convention could sort of erode labor rights. So, I mean, that's it. The delegates will make the call in terms of what gets proposed to the voters, but ultimately it's up to the voters to say yay or nay.
Hey, Blair, what are the polls showing these days?
Well, the most recent, the trend has been done particularly by Siena Research Institute, has been a downward spiral in terms of support for the convention. It started roughly 2-1. In support,
2-1-4,
earlier this year, with a huge percentage of the public not knowing anything about it.
Right.
The most recent polling is showing it underwater now, support for the convention underwater, but still a sizable percentage of New Yorkers that are unaware of the vote itself.
And what's going to happen is they're going to get in there and say, what's this?
If they turn over the paper.
Well, that business about turning over the paper is so funny. I mean, somebody's going to walk out of there and they're going to say, I thought there was a constitutional convention on there, after they've deposited their ballot. And the guy or the election person is going to say, well, it was on the back of the ballot. Oh, my God, can I go back in? No. Okay, thanks very much. Appreciate it. All right. Now we're going to go to, Eli in Utica. Welcome back, Eli. Go ahead.
Thank you. So, Blair, campaign finance reform. I think it's an absolutely needed ingredient towards strengthening our flagging democracy, you know, nationally and statewide. I've spoken to State Senator James Seward on the issue, and he doesn't seem to agree with me at all. He thinks that he's very proud of this removal of pension rights, and he thinks that that is the answer. I think that's laughable. My question to you is, who can we look to in state government at present, the Assembly and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats? Who are the people who are pushing the issue of LLC reform and further campaign finance reform?
Okay.
Well, I mean, in terms of the legislative side, I mean, it's sort of a mix. There's a lot of different people have different perspectives on the issue. So for the listeners, they're under New York State, New York State interpretation of the law. It's not actually in the law. Limited liability companies, LLCs, are treated as human beings for the purposes of campaign contribution limits and thus are able to give a lot of money.
Now, the governor doesn't like them, but he takes all the money.
Yeah, he's the single biggest recipient of LLC money.
We call that hypocrisy.
And real estate developers are the ones who really control many. There's a very powerful real estate developer in Manhattan, has 70 to 80 limited liability companies that are under his control. And so he can give donations through all of them at the max. In a court filing, they said they estimated spending as much as $10 million in campaign contributions. So there's a lot of things. But in the way Albany works, just to go to Eli's point, you need the governor to do something about it because he is the King Kong of politics in New York State and in the legislative process. The governor, who got elected in 2010, saying he was coming to Albany to clean it up, I think it's fair to say that he's been unsuccessful, at least as yet. And the focus, I think, of the public should be urging that the governor use his considerable powers, particularly in the budget process, to leverage that power for changes, needed changes in terms of campaign finance reform and independent enforcement of existing laws, which doesn't exist at the state level. And with Preet-Bharara moving from the scene, I'm concerned about the federal level as
Yeah. well. Yeah. Eli, thank you. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Your chances of getting in now are excellent. We got three people waiting on the phone. That'll go like thunder. Okay. We'll go to Joel in Woodstock. Okay, Joel in Woodstock, you're on.
Hi. I have heard the arguments about the constitutional amendment that, you know, the same guys, Alan, I think you've talked about it.
Many, many times.
Same guys who are, you know, running the legislature now are going to be the ones going to the convention. My feeling is, yes, I'm concerned about that. Things are not happening that ought to be happening. But the problem is that if we don't have a constitutional convention, then we're guaranteed to not have good things happening. We're going to get the same old, same old.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If we have a constitutional convention, there's a chance that we'll get some improvements.
Yep.
And we can vote. We can vote it down if they come up with something that's worse than what we've got. So I would like to see it and take my chances and then have a chance to vote if I don't like it.
Well, I mean, that's the supporter's argument. The supporter's argument, Joel's argument is really
roll the dice.
Roll the dice, and if you don't like it, you can pull the plug at the end of the day.
And, you know, the hell with the $35 million or whatever it's going to cost to run the thing. That might go to schools or whatever, roads.
It's a $150 billion state budget, Alan. We're
well, that's
about 50
true.
To 100, which
well,
is... I mean, to you and me, that's real money. But in the state government, that's sort of a rounding error.
If I had it in my bank account, it would be a great deal. Joel, thank you. Okay, we have two people on the phone now. Wait, a third is just joining us. We'll go to Merle in Argyle, a place where everybody wears socks. Okay, Merle, you're on. Go ahead.
I got socks on.
I know.
Question is, you sort of already answered it, but there is no platform for the convention for one party or the other, correct?
Well, the convention, it's up, you know, whatever the convention delegates want to take up will be what they take up. So it's completely up to them.
We won't know in advance what they're going to take up.
Well, I mean, you might want to consider that in choosing who the delegates are, right? In the way it's set up is that every state Senate district, and there's 63 in the state, gets to vote and approve three delegates to the convention, and then there's 15 elected statewide. So as a voter, you can demand that they explain to you what is their platform for if and when they get elected to the convention, what it is that they're going to do. So there's that, but you can't...
So there is a way you can actually find out what they're interested in.
Well, you can ask them, but they can tell you, but who knows necessarily what they do when they get to Albany, right? I mean, that's the same problem you have with elected officials generally. But that's the best check you have.
Hey, Merle, are you going to run?
Good delegates.
Hey, Merle, are you going to run?
No.
Why not? No, I mean this.
I mean this seriously. I might not run.
People don't know where to go to get the, you know, get this... the papers. That takes a lot of energy.
Yes.
Merle, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. All right. Now we're down to two players, and we'll go to Peter in Wappingers. Okay. All right. Peter on line number four. Okay, Peter, you're on.
Hey, Blair and Alan, how are you?
Well, I don't know about him. Forget it.
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. I'm fine. It's just Alan.
Good. All right. Listen, let me go at this a different way. I want to talk about the things that I would most like to see change in this state and have somebody tell me whether or not constitutional convention would be able to affect those changes.
All right, go ahead.
Number one, the fact that school taxes are always on the backs of property owners. Not every state in the union does that. And as a matter of fact, a minority of states in the union does make school taxes only on property owners. There's so much redundancy between villages and towns. Would a state constitution help alleviate that kind of redundancy? And third term limits on legislatures. Would a state constitution affect those things? So you got school taxes, town and village redundancy, and term limits. please tell me if a state constitution would have an effect on those issues.
Okay, Blair, you can go right after me. My answer is yes, yes, and yes.
I would say maybe, 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 because we don't know what they would do.
Well, I think
they could.
Yeah,
they could. They could. They could also ignore those three points.
No. But his point is, I think Peter's point is, if the Constitutional Convention decided there was going to do something about those three things, did they have the power and ability to do it?
Then yes,
so
yes.
So that would
and
be
yes.
Yes, yes, and yes.
But my point was, I was listening to the question, was could they? And maybe, maybe, maybe it depends on who the delegates are.
Oh yeah, no, that's true. But Peter, you make a good point. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it. All right, we're down to the last person
on
the.
We can talk about the other two questions before we finish.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we need to take a break. So now we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Carol from Whitesboro. Okay.
Support for WAMC comes from Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. NatureWorks Organic Land Care, specializing in innovative ecological landscape construction of outdoor living spaces, all organic food systems and garden features, design, installation, and organic maintenance. NatureWorksLandCare.com. Stamble String Instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie, providing sales, service, and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows, restorations and appraisals, open Tuesday through Saturday, stamblestring.com. The Egremont Barn, bringing music, food, entertainment, and community to the Berkshires. This week's artist and tickets are available at theegremontbarn.com. And Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com.
Here we are, one young guy, one old guy. Talking about
which is which, Alan?
You're the young guy.
No, but you're the one who says you are young for your age.
Well, for my age, I'm young.
But I'm old for my age, so maybe
you
it tips the other way.
You are not old for your age. You are unbelievably energetic, you know, and I can only say that. Okay, so welcome back to the show, and we're very interested in what you have to say. Right now, there's one person, Carol from Whitesboro, who's on the line. We have about 18 minutes to go. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Now, don't be calling me up later saying you never take my calls. Because now's the time. There'll be no distinction made. We are going to give everybody their chance, okay? See, somebody else is already getting on the line now. All right, let's go to Carol in Whitesboro. We've been promising. Hey, Carol, thanks for holding in there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been interested in following the remarks that are made. I'm totally against the Constitutional Convention because there's too much money that will pay their way to get the delegates in that they want and Reclaim New York, who is sponsored by Steve Bannon and the Mercer family, is one of them that is influencing an election in my area. I think also the cost is outrageous, you know, would be outrageous, and there are so many things in our government that needs fixing, like public education, infrastructure. I'm worried about the Adirondack Forever Wild being, you know, taken out. There's too many chances that big money can have an influence on.
Carol, you've summed it all up, and from that position, we thank you very much. We'll go now because people all of a sudden took me seriously, which is always a mistake. We'll go now to, let's see here. How about, I don't know what number, who's on number six, but we'll take a chance. Doesn't have a name, but number six, you're on. What's your name?
Paula.
What?
Paula.
Oh, Paula. Okay, I know that name. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Okay, this is what I'm thinking, and I'm thinking that I will vote yes for the convention because, yes, I know it will cost money, but if we do have one, there will be, hopefully, some amendments we could vote on the following year, and if the public says yes on some of the good amendments, we will save money. So in the long run, we will it will cost us less money because we will save money with some of the changes that the amendments will indicate.
So you're an optimist. That,
yes, I'm an optimist. I think nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Yeah, well, nothing ventured, maybe something lost, like money.
All right. But if we have one and we make some of the changes, we will save money.
The supporters argue that the redundant court system, and one of the earlier callers talked about sort of the plethora of local governments, that if you could sort of rationalize both of those systems, you might be able to save some money.
I would love, for example, to see an anti-gerrymandering part of the constitutional process, because you know what they do now, and they draw their own districts, is disgraceful. But thank you very much for that. All right, now we'll go to, let's see here. We'll go to Howard in Hillsdale. Okay, Howard in Hillsdale, you're on.
Hi, I'd like to introduce the innovation perspective to this conversation. Maybe this is an oversimplification, but if people are happy with the way things are working, then they should resist change. And if they're unhappy and complaining, then they should act in a way that permits change. Having run an innovation institute for 12 years, I find most of the world likes to complain and is terrified of change. That's my comment.
Blair?
Well, we'll see in a week, right? Because certainly every poll tells you New Yorkers are not happy with the way that things are working out in state government. Here's an opportunity to do something about it. And we'll know in a week if people are innovative in their thinking or they're just not willing to take the risk that we've been talking about over the past.
Yeah, but Howard, here's my problem with what you're saying. It isn't quite as clear as you make out. In other words, there may be a lot of people who are for innovation, but who are not happy about the same old pals running the operation.
It's a risk. It's a risk. But I know that when we resist any opportunities to change, then we're not going to get it.
Okay, thanks, Howard. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, now we'll go to... Okay, now we'll go to Heidi in Cooperstown. Okay, Heidi, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, quick question. Is there any way... This
he
is probably
a
matter for the Constitutional Convention, but is there any way, instead of having groups like Reclaim New York pick people... Is there? I know we get voted on, but we know how that works. Is there any way to do a jury system that people can just be picked and pulled up,
only
so
if,
that we don't have people invested in certain parts of the state and creating more destructive policies?
We'd have to change the state constitution to do it. The state constitution's crystal clear. You run as a delegate, 3% state Senate district, 15 statewide.
Thank you. Okay. Now, let's see. Blair, I'm going to go through a whole bunch of stuff we've gotten over in the email, in
okay.
the ether. You have to answer very quickly. From Peter. I have no doubt there's plenty to fix in the state constitution. My concern is that the baloney seems to be easier to package than the logical arguments. It's not that hard to come up with an appealing and rational-sounding pitch for an outlandish idea. It's safer to keep what we have, don't you think?
That's the argument that opponents have. I agree with that. I agree that that's their argument.
Amy wants a question for Blair, clearly not for Alan. Could you address the rumors that we would be opening up the possibility of tinkering with state workers' pension if a constitutional convention would be approved?
Well, the state constitution protects public employee pensions. There's a U.S. Supreme Court interpretation of the federal constitution, which protects pensions. Unions have argued that there's under certain circumstances, those pensions could be put at risk. The only argument I've heard is on a technical basis. I think generally speaking, if you're retired and you're getting a pension, you'd be safe.
Okay. And so Gina says, I work the polls and make a big effort to let people know to turn the ballot over. Then, capital letters, they ask us how they should vote. We're not allowed, so it's important they research beforehand, ask friends, or listen to shows like this. Thanks, and you may want to run another before November 7th. Give them a finger, they want a hand.
Two thumbs up.
Okay, there you go.
Those are my fingers.
Constitutional Convention. This question is addressed to both of you. As you may have conflicting views, I've heard a wide range of whys on both sides, no or yes for the question, but for those who lean no, the main reason the way it's structured means the same types who are the big problem will be in charge of the process, will not only fix the basic problems, especially to curb corruption, but will make it seem to have been fixed, but still be able to go on as now. What kind of system could you envision that you would trust to meet the main aims, which is the majority of New Yorkers would think would be a big improvement? Please speak not to the theoretical wish list, but to what might be achievable. And that's from Jack.
Well, it's very hard to change it now. To change the way that the state constitution says the delegates run, you have to change the state constitution.
Yeah, and yes, okay. Thank you for that. And Dan says, delegates for a constitutional convention will come from New York State Senate district lines, which are gerrymandered to proportionally favor Republicans. True.
Well, most of the Senate districts have Democratic enrollment advantages, and most of the senators are Democrats.
Yes, except that...
But there are conservative-leaning Democrats who are part of the Republican coalition.
Well, I think Dan's point is well taken. You're right, of course, as always. nevertheless, a lot of Republicans, enough to keep them in power,
That's
get
right.
elected, and then they get some...
There's no doubt that they're gerrymandered lines. For the Assembly and the Senate, in my opinion, the worst I've ever seen.
Oh, great computer. Draw me a district where I just can't lose. Okay. This will not be an open convention which the public can be heard and work. It will be a convention of the few, by the few, and for the few, particularly the big money special interests. If we can't guarantee the advancement of protection of progressive principles, we should oppose the Constitutional Convention. Now let's get to some real quick questions because we're running out of time. We're now going to Leah in Columbia County. Okay. Leah, you're on.
Hi. Can you please explain Proposal 3 on the use of forest preserve land? And is there any controversy to this proposal?
You got about an hour and a half. Go ahead. Right. It's complicated.
I don't think there's a controversy over it. There's, in a sense, two parts to it. One creates a 250-acre land bank where the state would purchase 250 acres to be used that would go to the Adirondack and Catskill Forest Preserves, and that would allow localities to use existing land to do certain things that they need to do in terms of improving infrastructure.
Widen a road.
Widen the roads or build a bridge and things like
and
that.
And by the way, Leah, I don't want to interrupt Blair ever, but by the way, this general agreement amongst everybody, the conservationists,
sure,
everything,
like it,
everybody,
yeah.
This is a good thing.
Yeah, and the second part of it allows for improvements in telephone poles and utility poles and the creation of bike paths along existing roadways. So it's a way to sort of not have to need a constitutional amendment every single time to make even the most minor changes.
So
in either
every
one of the
time you
want
to do a bike path, you have to have a constitutional convention.
Under the current system,
constitutional amendment. Thank you, Leah. Okay, now we're going to go to Joy in Delhi. All right, Joy, you're on. Go, Joy.
Never mind. That was my question about the third proposition. So thanks for the program.
Thank you very much. Okay. And now we'll go to, how we say that? We're going to go to Ed in Saratoga. All right, Ed in Saratoga, your turn.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
We're here. Are you there?
My question is there a provision in the Constitution for a constitutional change by petition?
Is there now, you mean?
Is there now, yeah.
No. And it's one of the two things that I want to see happen. The other is term limits. I want to see term limits. I think New Yorkers are wildly in favor of them.
Well, I'm with you on that.
Yes.
That was my whole thought.
The other one is much more controversial. Because in California, where you have initiative and referendum, which started as a very good idea and has still produced some good results, also produced some bad results when the big money starts pushing propositions that get passed, that don't make an awful lot of sense. Ed, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, now we're going to go to, I'm trying to get everybody in here.
Looks like Dave, right?
What'd you say?
Dave?
Yeah, thank you for that, Blair. You're a very good host. We're going to go to line number 9, Dave in Albany. Okay, Dave, you're on.
Yeah, my question's not about the convention itself. It's more about New York State government. And it seems that in New York State government, the Attorney General and the Comptroller seem to have more presence and say in things than in most other states. Are there other states where the Comptroller has the kind of power that the New York State Comptroller has, the ability to subpoena, to impanel grand juries, to, you know, with an investigative team? Or is this kind of unique to New York because of the financial district in New York City?
Yeah, I would say that the answer is I'm not sure. I know that many states do not have separately elected comptrollers and attorneys general. And so I think that one of the reasons why they have the power that they have, there were decisions made when they drew the Constitution to make sure that the chief law enforcement entity of the state and the person who was watching the books was separately elected and thus less likely to be influenced by the governor.
And I must say, I don't like the way this particular governor has acted towards either the Attorney General or the Comptroller at certain times. And therefore, I'm always in favor of this independence. I think Tom DiNapoli, for example, has done a remarkable job as the Comptroller.
And I totally agree with you.
And it's not surprising that the governor tried to, you know, kill his powers. Thank you very much, Dave. All right, let's go now to, let's see here. Oh, yeah, Joy in Schenectady. All right, Joy in Schenectady. Go.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment on something an earlier caller had said, where he said that only property owners pay school taxes, because every renter in that rent pays part of the school tax that's assigned to that property.
Sure.
So everybody pays school taxes.
Yep, yep. Whether a renter or whether an owner. You're exactly right.
I just want to make that clear because so many
you made it clear.
Renters aren't as good.
You made it clear. And now on to the next call. Okay, let's go to, let's see here. Neil in Colony. Okay, Neil in Colony, you're on. Go.
Hi. Yeah, I just had a quick question. I'm a transplant Massachusetts voter. And one thing I have noticed is this whole concept of primaries.
Yeah.
And I was wondering where. I think I know where Mr. Chartok or Dr. Chartok stands, but yeah. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, we have open primaries. Basically, if you register as a non-registered person, you can take a ballot in either.
I mean, and NYPERG has not taken a position on the open primary and has not taken a position on none of the above vote, although both are intriguing and interesting ideas.
It works good in Massachusetts. Go ahead.
Just a quick perspective. Have been voting every year since I was 18 years old. I cannot vote in New York because I needed to register in a party by October 13th in order to vote in the 2018 primary.
Blair?
That's
ludicrous.
Right. You're absolutely right. The deadlines in New York are ludicrous and the longest in the country.
Yeah,
makes no sense.
And they're always self-serving. Thank you, Neil. Okay, let's see. We're going to really running down to the wire here. Let's go to John in Albany. John, you got to make it real fast. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. My observation is that all the people who are screaming vote no are saying one of two things. The oligarchs are coming, they're going to buy the election on the one hand, and the anarchists are coming, and they're going to trash the election.
Uh-huh.
The Bannons are going to take over on the other hand. And there doesn't seem to be a space in here to get some of the constructive things that absolutely have to take place, which Alan has mentioned, and I totally agree with. We've got a governor that's never gotten on a train that hasn't already left the station. And get some angry people in there and shake it up.
John, we're out of time, and I thank you for your call. Susan in Clarksville, I want to apologize to you. She wrote an article on the New York State Constitution, had some comments, but we ran out of time, which is why when I tell you to call in the beginning, you have to call in the beginning. We're out of time. Thanks, everybody. And Blair, thank you, as always. Support for the Vox Popcorns, Vision, Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine Exams, Eye Care, Dry Eye Therapy, and now American-Made Frames, where eyewear is an art, visionexceleyecare.com, and the Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, A Midsummer's Night's Dream, Shakespeare's Comedy Retold for today, November 9th through 19th, newpaltz.edu/theater. New England Hydroponics, the indoor gardening experts, offering a full selection of hydroponics, organic soils, and indoor gardening equipment, Southampton and Framingham, Massachusetts. Online at NEHydro.com. And College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years, specializing in foreign domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Thanks for joining us. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. She was terrific. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.